remain standing while we read our text this morning from the Word of God, okay? Good to see everybody today. It's good to be in the Lord's house. It's always a blessing to know that your name is written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. Amen? Written down in heaven. That's what we're to rejoice in. Thank God. Not that the spirits were subject unto them, the Lord said, but rather rejoice in this. That your names are written down in heaven. And thanks be unto God for that. I'm glad that it is. I know that it is because I've been to Calvary and met the Lord and been forgiven of all my sin. And I want to bless His wonderful name for that this morning. All right, let's turn to Psalm 103 in our Bibles, please. Psalm 103 in the Word of God. We're going to move right on through some of the Psalms, Lord willing. God being our helper. Psalm 103 for our Bible text this morning. And please keep your Bibles open there, and I'll be preaching from there and using several other illustrations that's found in the Word of God. All right, Psalm 103, beginning in verse 1, the psalmist said, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles." Now may the Lord bless that reading of His Word. Let's go to Him in a moment of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we're grateful this morning that we can still assemble in the house of God. We thank You, Lord, for the good song service. Thank You, Lord, for Your blessings upon our life. Thank You for Your people that are gathered today and those by the radio as well. I pray for those that are away from us, sick or traveling. I'd ask You to give them the grace and divine help that they need. Bless those, Lord, that are facing surgery. In the coming days and weeks, I ask You to help them, touch their bodies, mend them, deliver them from pain and the affliction, the suffering they're in. And I pray this morning, Lord, that sinners would be saved by the good grace of God, and that Your people would be stirred and blessed in their heart. As we look at these verses of Scripture together, I pray for the power of the Spirit of God. I pray for that special anointing and unction and liberty this morning to preach what God's laid upon my heart. Give me the grace now and divine help that I need and make me a blessing. And Father, I'll thank You for it in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. Thank You. And you may be seated this morning. I want to preach a little while, a very simple thought this morning out of these verses on the thought of blessings from the Lord. I want to say I couldn't begin to name them all. I couldn't begin to go over all of them, all the blessings that God has blessed me with. But the psalmist named six of them here, and I started to preach on all six of them this morning, realized that would be an impossibility. And so I just backed off, and I'm going to try to preach a little while on one of them and try to bring out some simple little thoughts that I hope will be a help to you. But I thought it was something strange. There are six of these blessings mentioned here in these verses, six being the number of man. And no doubt they're here for the blessing and divine help that man needs in his life. Now, as the title states, if you've got one, a Bible that states the titles of the Psalms, as the title states, we're once again in the midst of a psalm that was written by the sweet psalmist of Israel, David the king. David was the sweet psalmist. He wrote many of the psalms, which were songs sang in Israel. And many of them were written in times that he faced maladies of life or dilemmas in his life, calamities in his life. And God would speak to him and bless him by giving him these psalms that God canonized and put in the Word of God. And brethren, I want to say that I believe them. Without a shadow of a doubt, I believe everything that is said in the Bible. I believe it is the inspired Word of God. Now, I want to say I believe what's said in the King James Bible. I believe it is the inspired Word of God. And so David, the sweet psalmist of Israel, is writing here. And if you've ever read the psalm, you'll know it's a psalm of great beauty. It's a psalm that is very, very precious. And it's a psalm that has been a great favorite of the devout souls of God throughout all the ages. We find in it the fullness of the mercy of God in the forgiveness of sin. I'm amazed at that. We find the fullness of God and God's mercy in the forgiveness of sin that He has on the behalf of sinners. And we also see the enrichment of man's soul. I'm glad that when God takes away our sin, He enriches our soul with the fullness of Christ. When sin moved out, God moved in. Hallelujah. And He enriches our soul in all of the blessings of Almighty God. He enriches our soul. And then we see His tender and fatherly pity for His frail and dying children. And that's what we are. And here, gracefully and gratefully are celebrated. That is, that the forgiveness of our sins and the tender mercy that God has shown us as our Heavenly Father are found here in the Word of God, and then they're celebrated by the psalmist. I want to ask you a question this morning. When was the last time you celebrated the fact that God is a tender Heavenly Father, tender-hearted, and loves you with more love than you've ever realized? When was the last time you really, just realized that and got beside yourself and celebrated it a little while in the presence of Almighty God? Say, some of you in here probably never lifted your hand to the Lord and said, Amen. And shame be upon us. We'll find that out here in just a minute. And we are His children. And it must have been composed at a time when David's soul was filled with precious and grateful recollections of divine benefits and strong and tender confidence of God. For he says there in the first two verses, Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. David said, everything that is within me, from my innermost being, from the depths of my very soul, I want to bless the Lord for what He's done in my behalf and for me. What I could not do for myself, thanks be unto God, He has accomplished it from me. Now, I want to say that praise ought to come from the depths of our soul. It ought to come out of our heart and not out of our mind and our intellect. It's one thing to praise God from the intellect. It's another thing to praise God and adore Him and worship Him from the very heart, what He has renewed by His marvelous grace and given us of His Spirit within us. Two different things altogether. And then he says there in verse number 2, Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Now, God didn't put that there just to take up space in the Bible. David wants us to remember the benefits that God has daily loaded us down with. There are both blessings and benefits. Now, I don't know if this is right, but I've always thought that blessings were spiritual. That is, but Paul said in Ephesians 1 that he's blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, and that benefits were those things that we have in this life. And I don't want to say carnal, I'll say secular blessings, worldly blessings, things that He has given us in this life. And He daily loads us down with those benefits. Now, if you noticed in the first two verses, they describe the deep love and divine worship that David has for the Lord. David loved the Lord. The Bible said he was a man after God's own heart. Amen. I don't think the Lord can say that about you and I today. But David had a great and a deep love for the Lord. And these verses show the depths of that love in the praise and adoration and thanksgiving that he had for the Lord when he said, "Bless the Lord, O my soul." Then I believe he paused for a minute and he said, "Hey, wait a minute. And everything that is within me, let it praise the Lord." Then he thought again and he said, "Hey, bless the Lord again, O my soul, for all the benefits that God daily loads me down with. I want to bless the Lord again for all of those benefits." Now, if you'll notice in these first, from verse 3 on down through verse 5, the word "who" is used several times. When it begins in verse 3, it begins "who." He's blessing the Lord, and then he said, "Who forgiveth us of all of our iniquity." Now, when he said "who," he's telling me that the Lord is the author of our salvation. He is not only the author, he is the finisher of our salvation. Ladies and gentlemen, salvation is of the Lord. David lets us know right quick that man cannot, and man cannot save himself. Salvation is of the Lord. Boy, I would to God people would learn that today and realize that we don't have a work salvation. We have a salvation that is by the grace of God. For we are saved by grace through faith, and that not even of ourselves. It is the gift of God. It is not of works. Paul said, "Lest any man should boast, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works." I want somebody to say amen right there. Bless the Lord. If you think you can get in by works, you're going to die and go to hell. It takes more than joining the church. It takes more than being baptized. Amen. Amen. It takes more than tithing. It takes more than attendance. It takes a heartfelt love for God for what he has done for you and I in our life when he died on Calvary and rose again for our justification, that we might be saved by the marvelous grace of God. Oh, when I think of what God's done for me, how he lifted me up out of the depths of sin and where I was. Like that old boy with the ponytail. Brother Foley was looking for him this morning, but he didn't show up, did he, Brother Foley? He's supposed to now. He sat in there the other morning, the other afternoon, and told me how wicked and ungodly he was. He said, "I've done things that you don't know about. You ain't done." I said, "Sir, I've probably done more. I've probably done what you've done and more." Amen. I knew exactly where he was headed. Amen. And I wanted to cut him off at the pass. I don't see him here this morning. But I'm going to tell you something. God's got a love for that man's soul. God's got a love for that man's soul. And had it not been for the grace of God, you and I would find ourselves right exactly where he's at this morning. But I'm glad, thank God, one day an omnipotent hand of mercy reached down from heaven into the depths of sin and degradation, and by the grace of God, hey, he lifted me out of sin, amen to God, and then set me down in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. I want to praise his name and bless him with all of my soul. I want to bless his holy name for what he's done. And I'm not ashamed to bless him. Praise God, I'm telling you. You know, being a tabernacle graduate, I'm not ashamed to praise God a little bit. Doc taught me very well in that. Amen. And so when he said, "Who forgiveth us," there in verse number 3, "of all thine iniquities." Amen. Of all thine iniquities. He's talking about God. Who? Who forgiveth? Now, I want to preach on that. There's six of them here, and very simple thoughts. But who forgiveth us all thine, or who forgiveth all thine iniquities? Amen. Do you notice David went to the third party there? Yeah. He's not talking about David. He said thine. Yeah. But he made it for you and I today. And I'm not a history. I mean, English scholar by no means. I passed with a C+ in Bible college, and that was a whole lot of grace thrown in. Amen. But he used that word forgiveth.
He didn't say who forgave all thine iniquities, who forgiveth all thine iniquities. That doesn't just mean that God has forgiven our sins of the past. That means that God has forgiven our sins of the past, our sins of the future, and is forgiving us daily of our sins that we commit on a daily basis to God, who forgiveth. It is a constant and consistent forgiving of our sins. Oh, and he was right when he said he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins if we'll confess them to him, and he'll also cleanse us, hallelujah, from all unrighteousness. Bless his wonderful name. Now, our sins are all forgiven. Notice that word, and who forgiveth. Boy, that little three-lettered word pops up a lot, all. Not just some of them, all of them. You know what I learned it all means in the Hebrew? It means all. Every one of them. Amen. Who forgiveth all? No wonder David could say, bless the Lord, O my soul. And all that is within me, bless his holy name. When he stopped to consider that God had forgiven all his sins, and I want you to get a hold of this, all your sins had to be forgiven. If there was one sin hanging on you that hadn't been forgiven, I'm telling you, it would have drug every one of us down the corridors of death to the chambers of hell, and that's where we'll spend eternity. But God will present us faultless and blameless before his throne, hallelujah, without sin unto salvation. Someday, why? Because he has forgiven us of all A-double-L, all of our iniquity. Amen. What a God. What a Savior. Our sins are forgiven, who forgiveth all thine iniquities. Now I want you to notice three or four things, and we won't be long this morning. But they're very simple thoughts. Now, what kind of sins do you, have you ever stopped and considered what kind of sins has God forgiven? What kind? I want to say, first of all, that he forgives the most deceitful sins. Those that are most deceiving. Somebody said, Brother Hall, what are you talking about? Well, I think of a man, I mentioned him the other day, by the name of David. And David, in chapter number 11 of the book of 2 Samuel, at a time when kings go forth to battle, stayed behind. And he found himself up on a rooftop watching a woman take a bath. I don't believe that was the first time David had ever been there. I believe that's the reason he stayed behind. He had been up there before. Hey, I'm telling you, sin just don't happen like that, friend. I'm going to tell you, amen. That sin had been going. Hey, he had been coveting that woman, that man's wife, for a long time, and lusting over that woman for a long time. And he stayed behind at a time when kings go forth to battle. We can take a lesson there. We better be in the place God wants us to be in the right place. If we're not in the right place God wants us, I'm telling you, trouble can get our way. May I say God wants you in church? Come on now. And I'm telling you, when you're not in church, I'm telling you, trouble can head your way, and it will head your way. Mark that down. But old David stayed behind. And he should have been out when the kings go forth to battle. And he stayed behind. He saw that woman and he called for her and brought her to his house. The Bible said she later called and sent to David and told him that she was with child. And she was married to Uriah the Hittite, one of David's mighty men. Now you get, I'm going to get to somewhere in just a minute. And David called him in and tried his best to get Uriah to go down to his house to be with his wife, and he wouldn't do it. But he went back into battle, and David had no other choice. He had to silence that sin some way. And so he sent a letter to Joab to put Uriah in the very heated place of the battle and then withdraw from him. Amen. And the note came that Uriah the Hittite was dead. David brought that woman to his house. That child was born, And Nathan the prophet in chapter number 12 comes to David's house and gives him the story of the poor man that had the one ewe lamb and the rich man that had everything. No doubt talking about Uriah and David. Uriah had nothing. David had it all. All he had was a wife, and David took that man's wife away from him. Now I want to show you something. But David did it in a very deceitful way. You better believe he did. I mean, he sneaked in at a time when he ought to have been out in battle. And then he had Uriah the Hittite killed to try to deny his own sin and sweep his own sin under the rug. But here's what happened. Nathan come to him and told him that story. And David said in chapter 12 and verse 13, David said unto Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said unto David, the Lord hath put away thy sin, thou shalt not die. Oh my! No wonder we are to bless the Lord. I'm telling you, a more deceitful sin in the Bible, I cannot find anywhere unless one other place I'm going to mention in a minute. But how deceitful his sin was. Had a man, hey, took a man's wife, had a man put to death, amen, and thought that he could get by with it by deceiving people. But I'm telling you, you can be sure, ladies and gentlemen, your sins will be found out. But what good news to know that even those sins that are very deceitful that we commit trying to deceive somebody, God will forgive those sins as well. I thought about another couple in the Bible that tried to, that committed a sin that was very deceptive. Their name was Adam and Eve.
Amen.
Right. And you know how Eve was deceived and eat of the fruit and give it to Adam and he eat it likewise.
Amen.
You know, the Lord always visited them. I want you to get a hold of this now. The Lord always visited them in the cool of the day in fellowship with them. But when they realized they had sinned, they sewed fig leaves over their nakedness.
Amen.
And went and hid behind a tree. And boy, and I'm going to tell you something, hey. Trying to cover up their sin.
Amen.
Very deceitful.
Amen.
Trying to cover up that which they had sinned against the Lord. But hey, guess what? The Lord, now get this now. I want to show you how merciful God is. When they sinned, God did not spring down on them immediately and consign them to hell or condemn them. He didn't get in any hurry about revealing their sin at all. He was as patient and as long-suffering as He could possibly be with Adam and Eve. Somebody said, preacher, what are you getting at? He waited until the cool of the day. He came at the same time He had always come to them. He could have come early in the morning. But He gave them the space of all day long to repent of their sin.
Amen.
But hey, they didn't repent. They tried to deceive God. They tried to sow fig leaves. God said, where are you at, Adam? Could I ask you that question this morning? Where are you at? Are you like, hey, you hiding behind that tree this morning? Have you tried to sow on them fig leaves and cover up your sin this morning and deceive God and deceive everybody around you? Try to hide your sin and cover it up? I'm telling you, God sees your heart and God knows your sin this morning. But here is the blessing of it. Blessed be His wonderful name. Just like He forgave David, God also forgave Adam and Eve, thank God. Gave them coats of skin to cover up their sin and forgave them of that sin they had committed against God. God forgave them of deceitful sins. And I'm telling you, God will do the same for you and I today. And I'm not trying to imply that we ought to sin willfully against God. I'm simply saying that when you realize that we've all probably been guilty of that, sinned and tried to cover it up from her, so her husband wouldn't find it out. Or sinned and tried to cover it up so her wife wouldn't find it out.
Amen.
sinned and done things that we didn't want the family or other people to find out. Tried to cover it up and tried to be and was deceitful in it. I've got good news for you. Jesus is so loving that He'll even forgive deceitful sins. Who forgiveth all? Who forgiveth all thine iniquities? Thank God. Not one or two of them. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities? What a God. What a great God. Now you stay right with me. I want to say secondly, not only does He forgive the most deceitful sins, but He'll also forgive the deepest sins. The deepest sins are also forgiven. Now somebody said, what do you mean by the deepest sins? Well, stay right with me and I'll try to illustrate it to you. There was a man in John chapter number 5 laying by the pool of Bethesda. And Jesus came by that pool one day there in Jerusalem. And He saw that man that was been laying there in his sin for 38 years. 38 years that man had been in that condition. 38 years he had been laying there. Jesus said, well, will thou not be made whole? And he said, when the water stirs, I have no man to put me in. And here's what Jesus said to him. Rise, take up thy bed and walk. And immediately the man was made whole. Amen. Now listen carefully to what I'm telling you. If I understand that right, that man had been in that sin for 38 years. Oh, I'm telling you, sin can get a grip on people, ladies and gentlemen. You better believe it can. I wonder how many men have been under the influence of alcohol booze for 38 years and couldn't shake that sin, couldn't get away from that sin. They couldn't turn loose to the bottom of it. Oh, praise God. There come one glorious daybreak when Jesus passed by where they was, and after 38 years of living in deep dark sin, God passed by and called them out of their sin and forgave them of all their iniquity. Amen. I wonder how many whoremongers, how many adulterers and adulteresses, I wonder how many prostitutes has lived in their sin. I wonder how many liars, I wonder how many thieves have lived in their sins for a long, long time. Their deep sins for a long time. And some of them probably never dreamed there's any hope. Anybody in here like that this morning? That you had gone so far away from God. That old boy sat back there the other day and told me, he said, there ain't no hope for me. He said, you don't know what all I've done, man. I said, yes, there's hope for you. Amen. He said, well, I quoted him some Bible. He said, you mean to tell me I got to believe what a book said? I said, yes, sir. Amen. I said, not only that, you've got to be willing to repent and turn from your sin. He said, I got to repent. I told him he had to repent. Now, I'm going to tell you, hey, you could tell by looking at that old boy, he was rough cut. Come on now. He had lived a life of sin all of his life. I'm telling you, the signs of sin was written all over him. The consequences of his sin was seen in his face and his body all over it. I'm telling you, sin not only leaves its mark on man's soul, it'll leave a mark on your body as well. You cannot live a drunk all your life without that sin being seen in your body. Amen. You can't live a worldly lifestyle in a fast lane all your life without it catching up with you somewhere in your body. It'll get you, friend. And folks, it's a bunch of lesbians and sodomites. They think they got her made until they come down with AIDS. Then that sin they thought would never be seen has got them. It's revealed in their body. What are you saying, Brother Hall? I'm saying even the deepest sins. Those that have been going on for a long, long time. The Bible said God will forgive them. I don't know what this man's problem. I know he was lame. I don't really know per se what sin that he had in his life. I know I could typify it if I wanted to. But I know he had to have some real sin in his life. And for 38 years, that man had wallowed in that sin. And look here. He said, when the water stirred, I have no man to help me. For 38 years, he tried.
He tried to do all he could do in 38 years. He tried to, probably tried to reform himself, probably tried to get right on his own, tried to crawl in that water on his own power. But he said, hey, before I can get there, so I know he was trying to get there. And he said, before I get there, somebody else steps into the water. Oh, I'm telling you, there have been a lot of people living in dark sin. In deep sin, friend. I'm talking about way down the line. And for a long time, they tried to get to God. They wanted to get to God. But I'm telling you, you can't get to God. But thank God, God will come to where you are when you can't get to Him. He'll come to where you are. Bless His wonderful name. And by grace, God will lift you out of sin. And if He has, you ought to be like David and say, bless the Lord, oh my soul. And with all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord and forget not all His benefits. Amen. That's right. I want to say number three. I told Miss Hall I was going to be short and sweet this morning. I started to bring him sugar sticks. Honestly, I started to bring them. I said, you're going to be short and sweet. She said, now, preacher, now, it's going to be a good hour and a half. I want to say thirdly, the darkest hour, in the darkest hour, our sins are forgiven.
Amen.
In the darkest hour of our life, God will forgive all of our iniquities. Somebody said, preacher, what are you getting at? Well, I read, by the way, I won't get ahead of myself. When Jesus there in that pool of Bethesda told that man to rise, you know what that word rise means? It means to raise up from a place or a state of ruin. That's where that man was laying, ladies and gentlemen, in a state of ruin. That's where you and I were when Jesus found us, in a state of ruin. My life was ruined. My soul was dead in sin. I was headed for a Christless eternity. Never had enough just to realize that the war had already been won. And I had a Savior. His name is Jesus. Blessed be the name of Jesus. That name that's above every name. He'll take a life that is full of ruin and He'll raise it up out of the trash heap of ruin and, amen, shape it and mold it and fashion it into His own image and make something out of it.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. I didn't want to let that go by. I want to say He'll save sinners. In the darkest hour, He'll forgive their sins. I read in Luke chapter 23 of Jesus being on the cross.
Amen.
And the Bible said there were two thieves crucified with Him, one on either side. And Jesus was there in the middle of the, in the midst.
Amen.
And for a while, both of them railed on Him. Then something seemed to change that one old boy's life. And he turned and changed and said, hey, he said, we're in the same condemnation as this man. And said, we're in it justly so, but he's done nothing amiss.
Amen.
And that old boy turned to Jesus, and here's what he said. He turned to Jesus and said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee today, thou shalt be with me in paradise. Well, somebody said, preacher, what do you mean the darkest hour of your life, God will forgive sins. How much darker could it be for that old boy? There he is hanging on a cross. Just a few hours from death. And a few breaths from hell. Oh, you talking about the dark hour in his life. Praise God. I'm glad Jesus shows up in the dark time. His wonderful name. He was closer to hell than what you and I will ever realize. Jesus could have said, hey, you've lived for the devil in the world all these years, go on to hell. But He didn't. He said, Lord, remember me. Look here. He wasn't looking for relief right now. Most people are looking for temporary relief right now. He said, remember me. Look down the line. His faith, he had such a great faith. He looked afar and said, remember me. Not right now, but when you come into your kingdom, remember me. And I'm going to tell you what Jesus said. Yeah. We're not going to wait till we come into the kingdom.
That's right.
He said today.
Yeah.
Woo! Today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Oh, I'm telling you, in the darkest, it couldn't have been a darker hour in his life, ladies and gentlemen. I mean, there he is ready to die. And the Bible said about that horse in the book of Revelation, hey, that death rode upon it and hell followed. And Charles Spurgeon said, when a man goes to hell, there's no golden key. There's not a golden key that'll unlock its dungeon door. But oh, Christ divinely stepped in. There he was in the middle with his hand stretched out. Hey, had one hand out toward that one old thief and one out the other. He said, both of you can come if you want to. That one old thief prayed on him, but the other said, Lord, hey, please remember me. Makes me want to sing that old Negro spiritual, oh, do Lord, oh, do Lord, oh, do remember me. Hallelujah to God. Woo! He said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. I'm going to tell you, and I give you, hey, a little encouragement. Don't give up on your loved ones. Some of your loved ones, hey, may be living in a dark hour of their life. They may be on the very threshold of hell itself, rejecting God. Don't give up on them. God will forgive sin in the darkest hour of the life that a man can possibly live in. You know that's right. This is not even in my thoughts, but how about that old boy, the maniac of Gadara, was in a pretty dark hour, wasn't he? That woman that was had that issue of blood was living in a dark hour, wasn't she? That lady that was all humped over living in a dark hour.
Amen.
Heard Don Anderson preach one time on a message on her, said it's time to straighten up.
Amen.
Praise God, she straightened up. Amen. That old boy that was in that coffin they was carrying in the Nain was really in a dark hour. He was already dead and in the casket.
Amen.
God, Jesus raised him up. What a dark hour. I could go on and on and on. Now I'm going to tell you, can I just throw this out at you? Every sinner in this room today and listening to the sound of my voice, we all of them are living in one of the darkest hours of their lives. Somebody said, why? Because nobody knows, ladies and gentlemen. When that knock may come at your heart's door and that death angel said, time's come for you to go. Oh, somebody said it won't happen. That's what that rich man thought. Jesus said, hey, tonight thy soul shall be required of thee. Thou fool. Dark hour. May I say number four. I want you to hope I can get a hold of this one right. He'll forgive us sins of our, forgive us of our most delightful sins. Sins that we really delight in. You realize that there are people involved in sin. Some of them Hollywood stars and all them athletes and everything that's wicked and ungodly. You realize that they delight in what they're doing. They're happy about it. Sinning away their life and they're happy in what they're doing. But I learned that God will save people in those conditions. And you may not agree with me in this, but I believe it's right. There was a guy in Luke 19 by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a tax collector. He heard Jesus was passing by. The old boy climbed up in a sycamore tree because he was a little stature and he wanted to see Jesus. Jesus walked by and just stopped right under the tree where he was at and said, Zacchaeus, come down from there. For today, I must abide at thy house. And old Zacchaeus come sliding down out of that tree. Hey, when he come out of that tree, I believe he delightfully took the money from them. But when he come down out of that tree, he said, Lord, he said, if I've took anything from any man wrongly, he said, I'll restore it fourfold. He delightfully came down, but he also delighted in giving it back. Amen to God. I'm going to tell you something. I said, why? Because I think he really was delighting in taking money from those people. He thought it was really something that he had a job that he could even infringe upon the poor and those that were without. Amen. And take money from them. I think he found it a delightful thing. He was a man of great power and in great position. But I'm going to tell you, when Christ came by, all that went out the window. Oh, just like it did Paul when he walked, came by Paul's way. Paul said, I counted it all but dung that I might win Christ. I counted it all but dung, every bit of it, that I might know him. Amen. And the power of his resurrection. The fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. I'm going to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, you may miss a lot of things in this world, but if you miss Jesus, no wonder old David could say, bless the Lord, O my soul, and with all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord and forget not all of his benefits. Why? Why are you saying that? Because he saves those that are deceitful. He saves those in the deepest sins of their life. He saves those in the darkest hour of their life. He'll even save those that delight in what they're doing. And there is pleasure in sin for a season. And people delight in it. But it won't last long. Now, I got a couple more thoughts and I'm done. In fact, I really just got one more. He forgives the most detestable sins. You know, there are some sins that are just so wicked and ungodly. So wicked.
Amen.
And so ungodly that we don't even like to talk about them sometimes. But here's what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 6:9-11. He said, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God?" He said, "Be not deceived. I don't want you to be deceived. Neither fornicators,
Amen.
Neither idolaters, nor adulterers,
Amen.
Nor effeminate,
God.
Nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous,
Amen.
Nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor extortioners, shall inherit the kingdom of God." But oh, that next verse, that next word. That next word. All of these detestable sins. Fornicators.
Amen.
Adulterers. Idolaters.
Amen.
How much more detestable can you get than to be an idolater? I'm talking about the worshiper of a false god.
Amen.
That's a pretty detestable sin. All of these. Abusers of mankind.
Amen.
With mankind. Effeminate. All these. But boy, here's the magic word. And such were some of you. What a blessing. That tells me that we ought to bless His wonderful name. We ought to bless Him for all of His benefits. We ought to bless the Lord. Why? Because such were some of you. You can't deny. You cannot deny. I cannot deny. We were just like them, the Bible says. But God hath forgiven us of all our iniquities, every one of them. Praise God, the fornicator, the adulterer, the adulteress, the idolater, the reveler, the covetous. All of them, such were some of you, but He said, and such were some of you, but you're washed. Woo! You're sanctified. But you're justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of your God. Now I've got one illustration on that and I'm done. There was a Pharisee in the book of Luke that went to see the Lord and invited the Lord home for dinner one day.
Amen.
And as they sat at the dinner plate, this woman came up behind the Lord and began to wash His feet with the tears from her eyes and wiped them dry with the hair from her head.
Amen.
And the Bible says in Luke 7:37, and it said, "And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner."
Amen.
The Bible said, and she began to kiss His feet.
Good.
She was a sinner.
Right.
Of the vilest sort.
Amen.
And unknown to you and I where her lips had been in her life.
Amen.
Jesus let her put them lips on His feet. He that knew no sin.
Amen.
That at this point in His body there was no sin. And there was no sin there till He took your sins and my sins upon Him at Gethsemane.
Amen.
The Bible said, verse 39, the Pharisee said in his heart that this man said if he were a prophet, that he would have known what manner of woman this is that touches him. And Simon said within his heart, for she is a sinner. Jesus said, Simon, I have somewhat to say to thee. And he said, say on. He said, you know, I've come into your house. Said, you gave me no water for my feet. Said, you didn't anoint my head. On and on. Said, but this woman, said, ever since I come in, said, she's washed my feet with her tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head.
Amen.
Said, she's anointed my feet for my burial. Said, all these things she's done unto me. Said, let me ask you something. Said, in so many words, and I'm skipping the parable that he gave. Which one of you thinks loved me the most? Simon thought a minute and he said, I suppose the one that you forgave the most.
Good.
He said, you've answered correctly.
Good.
And there was that woman that was vile. You can guess who you think she was. For my part, I believe it was Mary.
Good.
Magdalene, out of whom went seven devils. You're talking about detestable sins. We act like Jesus today is out of the sin-forgiven business. But I'm here to tell you, He's not.
Amen.
What He did then, He'll do now.
Amen.
He'll still save those that are involved in sins that appear to be more detestable than those in others. That Jesus spoke with that woman. And He said unto her, she was a sinner now. He said unto her, thy sins be forgiven thee.
Amen.
Now I want you to notice something. The Lord knew the heart of Simon and the woman. He knew the heart of both of them. He tells us that. He knew them both. He also knew the depths of their love, which one loved Him the most.
Yeah.
He knew that. And He knew which of the two had a repentant heart. And He knew which one would worship Him.
Amen.
In greater depths.
Right.
That's what the psalm is all about, I read. Bless the Lord, O my soul.
Amen.
And all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. It is all about the depths of our love and worship
Amen.
For Him. That's why David could read that, say that. He knew how to get into the depths of God's own heart and worship Him. And this woman, every time you see her in the Bible, you find her sitting at the feet of Jesus. Those same feet she anointed with a tear, washed with the tears of her eyes and wiped with the hair of her head and anointed with oil. You find her sitting at Jesus' feet.
Amen.
Worshiping Him.
Amen.
You know what was running through her mind when she was sitting there? Bless the Lord.
Yeah.
Oh, my soul.
Amen.
And all that is within me, bless His holy name.
Holy.
Bless the Lord.
Yes, sir.
Oh, my soul. Forget not all of His benefits.
Amen.
What about you this morning? If God has forgiven you, have you forgotten His benefits? Have you forgotten where you were in sin? Was you living in deceitful sins or in deep sin? Or dark hour in your life? Some of you could stand up and testify, and I've heard some of you say, if I hadn't got saved when I got saved, God told me the last time I'd be in hell and never get another chance. I've heard people testify that. Pretty dark hour, don't you think?
Amen.
There's no darker hour in anybody's life than when God
Amen.
Shuts that door. On those virgins,
yeah.
He shut the door and they stood without trying to get in. They couldn't get in.
Amen.
Too late. They were living in the darkest hour of their life and didn't realize it. The door was about to be shut. I hope there's nobody here that the door's about to be shut on. and those with delightful sins, and those with detestable sins, He forgives. Where are you at today? Where are you at today with Him? Let's stand together.